Blog Talk Radio.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006. A brief word from our sponsor, Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A short extract from the book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. God will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. In other words, until they change their way of thinking. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution is designed to help African Americans and other ethnicities change their way of thinking. This is a book that will change America, and it is on sale for only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. You can order your book now by sending a text message to area code 706-399-5006. Please put your name and the number of books that you would like to order, and you will be contacted to arrange payment information so that the book can be mailed to you immediately. So please go ahead and don't hesitate. Order your copy today. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, published by Reality Books. The author of this book is the great-grandson, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, the founder of the famous Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, now known as Tuskegee University. The great-grandson of Booker T. Washington is inviting you to order his book. Send a text to area code 706-399-5006. The book is only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. Order your copy today. Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, and this is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, the author of the book Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. We'd like to share some of our book with you this evening. In order to fully understand and appreciate the Black Revolutionary philosophy of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington, it is necessary to review the degree of spiritual impoverishment that had come with the African American slaves' relegation to the status of nearly inhuman chattel property. This spiritual impoverishment was the product of the cruelty and hopelessness that was endured by the black slaves, along with the wretched physical circumstances of their lives. The great abolitionist Frederick Douglass noted that, quote, the men and the women slaves on his slave master, Colonel Lloyd's farm, received as their monthly allowance of food 8 pounds of pickled pork, or its equivalent in fish. The pork was often tainted, spoiled, and wormy, and the fish were of the poorest quality. With their meat or fish, they had given them one bushel of Indian meal, unbolted, of which quite 15% was more fit for pigs than for men. With this, one pint of salt, and this was the entire monthly allowance of a full-grown slave working constantly in the open field from morning till night every day in the month except Sunday.
I apologize if you can hear me for the static. I have no idea where it's coming from. I know it's not coming from any of you because I've muted everyone's phone and it still is on the line. So I don't know if we're going to be able to do the show tonight. Obviously, you may be hearing it, you may not be hearing it, but I couldn't hear you if you try to talk. But I'm just going to go ahead and ask Ms. Bianchi. Ms. Bianchi, are you hearing that static?
No, you sound good.
Okay, well, it's just happening on my end. So as long as you all can hear me, that's good, because I'm just for some reason or other getting a lot of static here. So I did notice, though, when you came on, Mr. Bianchi, it broke the static and you came through loud and clear. So that's good. Okay, well, welcome everyone to our program tonight. Booker T. Washington African-American Family Room Forum on this mid-summer, maybe late summer, Saturday evening. As we move towards the close of summer, the children are back in school. People have gotten back to what in some communities may seem to be a semblance of normality. I've been out today with my wife shopping, and it seems almost like pre-COVID days, except that I did see in a lot of the stores, we didn't go to that many stores, but I did see people wearing masks inside the stores because some stores are requiring it. But then in the stores that are not requiring it, you see some people not wearing masks, some people wearing masks, but people are going about their business as though COVID has passed. And, of course, we know that it has not passed, so we still have to take precautions. One of my very best friends just recently came down, but he had not been vaccinated. So that's a lesson that I'm sure he'll share with others to go ahead and get vaccinated. Not that the vaccination is going to keep you from getting it, but it will definitely, according to what the scientists are saying, it will keep you from getting very, very sick and possibly dying from it. But anyway, again, I want to welcome everyone. So far, Ms. Bianchi, our host, has joined us. Thank you, Ms. Bianchi, for our radio check. Sheikh John Kenan Bey has joined us, and my dearly beloved sister-in-law, Sister Stephanie, has joined us. And all of you who may be listening via the internet, and I know there are some that prefer to do that, but I want to invite you to come on board and let us hear from you by calling in, because tonight is caller's choice. So if you got something on your mind concerning the African-American community, and that's basically what this forum is about, is talking about issues that pertain to the African-American community, then please call us at 657-383-0671. Again, 657-383-0671. I'm going to try something else because it may be a device that I'm using that's causing me to have this sound problem. So I'm going to switch off of that and see what happens. No, I'm still getting the noise, but I'll try to work with it on my end since you don't seem to.
Yeah, because it may be difficult for me to hear you, but again, we'll try. But Mr. Yankee, when you came on, I didn't hear any noise. But we'll see what happens.
Start off that
one thing, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Yankee.
The situation overseas in Afghanistan has reached a point where the State Department and the President and other members of his cabinet, the Defense Department, are scrambling, trying to get people, Americans primarily, but others as well, people that work for the government, for the U.S. government in Afghanistan, out, running into some difficulty with getting the Afghanistan people out. It appears that the main focus of our government is to get the Americans out that were working over there. I learned recently that except for about 1,500 people, which were primarily people who worked for the embassy, most of the American troops, not the civilians, but troops, had been gotten out, and maybe they weren't all embassy workers, but this was something that President Trump had engineered back in May. And then when this pullout, you know, caused the Taliban to surge towards taking over provincial capitals and other outlying areas, and then finally Kabul, then we sent soldiers back in there. And, of course, the last figure I saw was 6,000. To basically resecure, first of all, the military side of the Afghanistan Kabul air terminal, and then also other military bases that we had turned some of them over there to Afghanistan army officials. But we're moving back into some of those just to provide some sense of presence. As we work to get the Americans away from the neighborhoods or wherever the compounds were that they were living in Kabul and put them in a safe situation until we can fly them out. So that's the tricky situation, but they're working with it. But here's my question. I want to just say this, and we don't have to talk about it, but it's just something that was on my mind this afternoon. Most white communities would probably consider Afghanistans as being people of color. I have some Afghani friends, and, you know, if we were back in the 1950s to have walked together into a restaurant here in Augusta, Georgia, that was a white-owned establishment, we probably would have both been asked to leave. Both of us would probably be considered to be what they would call colored people. And we wouldn't have been allowed to eat in there. Now, I have had this experience in my home state of Alabama of being told that I could not eat in a white restaurant back in the 50s. And most Afghanistan people are not as light-skinned as I am. But my point is that there's a plan to resettle these people that we bring in, these translators and other workers for the U.S. government over in Afghanistan, the ones who want to come to America. There's a plan to resettle them. Now, back in the 90s, they resettled a lot of people from Albania because of the war that was going on over there in that part of the world. And a lot of these people were settled among white people because they are light-skinned enough, but they are considered to be white people, unlike the Afghanistans that are darker people. So my thinking is that they may find some pushback in some communities, not all, if they try to resettle these people in large numbers in lily white communities. Now, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. So if that happens, then they will probably shift gears and try to resettle them in middle-class black communities. Now, here's my question, and we don't have to discuss it. I just want to throw it out there. When these people get settled in, because these are people who over there in Afghanistan, they're educated people. A lot of them have established a business culture over there. And they're going to try to establish their own little Afghanistan communities, as most foreigners do when they come over here. The Vietnamese have done it. The Chicanos, they've done it wherever they have settled. And, of course, you know, the Chinese have done it. So I don't anticipate the Afghanis are going to do it differently. The Koreans, of course, we know they've done it. Now, here's my point. Are we going to be mad about it? Are black people going to be mad about it? Are we going to be not necessarily hostile but rude to them as they set up their stores? And because they're Muslims primarily, they're going to be setting up eventually as time goes by, mosques in the neighborhood, if they move into our community. Are we going to look at them as though they're strangers in a land where it's been the tradition for us to welcome people as Americans? Are the black people in our communities, are we going to be welcoming? Are we going to embrace them? Are we going to invite them to our culture centers to get acquainted with them? That's just something I thought I'd throw out there. Anyway, at this time, I want to go ahead and turn the program over to our co-host for any comments, any introductory comments that you might want to make, and we'll just keep moving around the family room. Mr. Bianchi, please take it away.
Yeah, how are you today? You know, Africans move in white communities and nothing fit. They don't have any
problems.
That's
a good point. That's a very good point. I didn't think of it like that, but you're right.
They don't live in the hood.
Why do you think that the Africans are accepted, and then when Negroes try to move in the community, they say that they have no vacancies, or the house has already been rented, or the house is no longer for sale? Why do you think we African Americans run into that problem, and our brother and sister Africans from Africa don't have that problem? Why do you think that is, Mr. Bianchi?
How do the whites know who's who? You got black Americans that move in white communities, no problem.
No, I have to tell you, I've had problems. I've had problems. Maybe you haven't, but I have.
Yeah, well, I run
into discrimination trying to buy property and rent property in white neighborhoods, even out in California.
Well, black realtors would show discrimination against people, especially blacks, when they try to move into their property, too. I was very stringent on who moved in my daughter's property when she had them. Just didn't let anybody move in there. Well, they call problems. But on the thing with Afghanistan, this is the worst I've ever could have imagined out of the bungling of a situation like what we're seeing coming out of the diverse Joe Biden administration. This man is just terrible. And people that's working at that capacity, including Austin, they need to be fired. Ain't no such thing as getting others out. You're supposed to protect American citizens. And I don't know why. You know, when Trump started to pull out, he got all kind of pushback against that and ridicule. Where is that now with Joe Biden? Plus, like you said, he was talking about coming out in May. In the wintertime over there. Because in the wintertime, those tribal groups go back to their villages in the mountain and so on, like they have traditionally done. And the roads would have been terrible. Muddy, snowy, and everything else. And then the next key thing is the abandoning of all the high technology that the Afghans don't know how to maintain, but they will sell it off to China and Russia so that they can study it. Now you're giving probably not so much Russia, but especially China, a step or two toward the progression of high-tech weaponry, because now they got U.S. helicopters and other instruments that they can study. Totally, totally ridiculous. And it was also new all along that the Afghan military, those that they call the military, was actually Taliban anyway. I mean, that's just the way it is in that country. And now they're even lynching people. I've heard that they've lynched some Americans. I wonder what they look like. Women are being beat. They put out an edict that families with daughters from 15 on up have to come and marry the military, the Taliban soldiers, warriors they call them. I really don't comment too much about that, Mr. Washington, because that's the tradition and the culture of that group of people there. I leave them alone. Why try to change them? Because they can look at your culture, your tradition, as being just as bastardly as people claim theirs to be. But this doesn't. On this, it had been a total flounder. The issue should have been to remove American people. And, you know, here's another thing, too. They could have been removed from another base and taken out to the ships. They didn't have to go to that airport and be removed. And I think that probably somebody tipped off somebody in the public that caused the onslaught onto the airport. So you got an onslaught of Afghans and Americans trying to leave the airport. Americans' initial reason to go there was to seek and hunt out and destroy those Afghanistans and Taliban that was involved in 9/11, which they did. Why they stayed there any longer than that is kind of befuddles me. They didn't have to. Of course, I'm not a military person, but from what I looked at from this side of the fence, they should have left those people there to do as they have been doing for ages, and they will continue to do it. So I'm going to let John Kenneth Bay take it from there. I'm sure he's got a long narrative that he can comment on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierre. John Kenneth Bay. Mr. Pierre, yes. Is passing over to you. So what are your thoughts?
First of all, I'd like to say a good evening. To be honest with you, I have thought about it. I thought about Afghanistan and this century, and I thought about going back three centuries, four centuries, in this country. There was a civilization here, and it is very similar to the civilization in Afghanistan presently, which I could make a comparison the way they rule through tribal, if you want to use the word tribalism. Each tribe had their structure wherein they had the council and had their chiefs or sheikhs that resolved all issues that they had among the people. Now, that was done here in this country before the European destroyed the Native Americans' way of life. And when I say Native American, I'm including a lot of us who are right now classified as African American, and the propaganda that went along with it that changed the culture, understanding of the history, occurrence of what occurred in this country here. That being said, I'm saying that when the European came here from Europe, the people they found here, the classification they classified them was similar to what the people you find in India. And at one time, the people in India were people of African descent, descendants of the ancient Moabites and Canaanites. And at that time, it was called the Mullahs. And the Mullahs right now are credited to building the Taj Mahal. So I'm saying the conquering European army, there's another, there's a national aspect of it and a religious aspect, and that being Christianity opposed to other religion or lack of religion. In fact, they were saying some people that came in contact with had no religion at all. So this just played out another arena and a replay of modern times. It's true, when people, you know, develop their lives and follow their instructions from their, I'm going to say, God and the company angels, company ancestors, because when we pass out upon, we do have an influence on what's going on in the circle of life. So I'm saying that there have been errors, mistakes made. Now, fingers be pointed? The military now, I don't think it's a new military because you got a new president. I think that so this whole effort goes through four administrations. So the finger pointing, accepting accountability is, I think, one of the flaws of preventing this experiment called democracy being a shining light to the world. And it has potentials. This is a lot of people of other nationalities come here because of the promise of this document they call the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, when they come in and participate, they come into a culture that has flaws and discrimination in a way that people have to find a way where they fit when they come in. So they fit in one or two categories. They fit in the first class citizen and the second class citizen, which a lot of people don't understand the fine line, but it is such. Most people, when they come into this country here, immigrants, they come as a first class citizen, which means that they come on the recommendation of the standard of the nation they represent. That nation they represent will have to prove they're in good standing. Once they're in good standing, they're permitted to come in this country here. And if they're not proved to be the character what they said it is, we have a process to return them back to where they come called deportation. The ones that came out of the gallows of Europe, that behavior continued in, that is, behavior not respecting law and making their own law, continue wherein it challenged the United States of America at what came to be a civil war. And after the civil war, those people of those type personality, they were defeated, and they should have been deported, returned back to the country where they came from, but they were allowed to stay here. So the history of dealing with fairness, humans and, being learning and living in a civil society, and when things come to challenge that, that society is degrades in many aspects. So there's a long way to go to reach the promises of the country of the United States of America. So there's a lot of work. Blame? Yeah. Very few people blame this. So rather than passing blame around, look at the problem and solve the problems. We also will be Americans. That's my overall view, how I see things. Peace.
Okay, thank you, Sheikh John Cannon Bay. And Sister Stephanie, you've listened patiently to myself and Ms. Priyanka and Sheikh John Cannon Bay. And you can respond to something or anything you've heard, but you can also introduce a different topic if you'd rather talk about something else, because it's caller's choice, so you're definitely welcome to talk about anything that's on your mind. So, again, welcome, Stephanie, and what would you like to talk about?
Well, hi, everyone. I'll respond to that because I have a firm belief in live and let live. That's what the United States is made of. People from all these other countries. And they're going to be made to follow and abide by the same rules, laws, and regulations that we do in the United States. I'd rather have them as a neighbor than someone's just hating someone because of the color of their skin. So, you know, in San Diego, they have a lot of Arabs anyway. And we've always gotten along with them. I think that the question about why we didn't pull out all those years ago. Look who was in office, Trump. He was up to something. And I thank God every day that he's out of the office, because this would have turned into communism by now. You know, so we want to be able to have some say-so in our lives. And we want to live and let live. You know, we don't need no one running this country who's some sort of racist and things, just devilish things that are just not right. So I'm glad they're pulling from over there. You know, we have a nephew that just came from over there. Thank God he's safe, and along with other young men and women who fight for our country. Air Force. And so we just see how that goes. We just got to continue to build in our communities too, you know, and we don't have to worry about what they're building. just live and let live. Thank you all. Hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steph. We may not go the whole hour tonight. I'll leave it up to you if you have more you want to say. But let me invite those who are listening via the Internet. If anyone's listening via the Internet, we certainly invite you to come on board to join in the conversation in our African-American family room. And the number to call is 657-383-0671. So I'm going to give my little comment, not a long comment, but a short comment, and then I'll turn it back over to Ms. Priyanka, and we'll go through the group that's present and get your final comments, and then let Ms. Priyanka close us out as he usually does. But number one, my question that I asked basically had not to do with what's going on over there in Afghanistan, per se, and because there's actually going to be a new government, the
leader who had been in exile has returned to Kabul and has been welcomed by his people and said that he's getting ready to establish a government. In other words, I don't know what the government's going to look like, but I imagine they're going to have ministers over different departments to keep the country running, you know, because they do need services. You know, they need a court system. They need to have sanitation. They need to have a food distribution system. They need all the things that they have been used to under the government that was held up by the United States under Karzai and the following leader, the one that is just went into exile. But they're going to set up a government, and just like other countries in the world, they're going to run their business. And they're going to run their business without the United States being involved. Now, there will be some involvement over time because these corporations are going to get some kind of deals made with the Taliban to get over there and mine those mineral resources and other supplying of different things that the Afghani people need. But they're not going to be alone. They're going to have the Russians competing with them and the Chinese competing with them and whoever else on the world stage trying to get in there and compete. But we're not going to have the power that we have had. And apparently our administration doesn't want to have the power that we've had over there. We're 20-some years into being involved in those people's affairs. And I agree with others that it's time for us to pull out. Frankly, I don't think we should ever have gone in there and stayed for 20 years. The same way I don't think we should have stayed in Vietnam for 10 years. But we have a system in our country where when the military goes in, the military industrial complex, as it's called, ramps up so the industrialists who supply the military with all kinds of things, not just weapons and airplanes and tanks, but food supplies, buildings, even paper to be used in the offices. And then you're talking about today's modern technology, even the computer systems, computer networks, civilian corporations, non-governmental organizations make billions of dollars every time that we go somewhere and we set up and we stay there for a long time. And so as far as what's going to happen over there is concerned, I'm interested because I'm a student of international relations and strategic security. So I do have an interest from a scholarly part of view, but that's a whole conversation for a whole nother time. But the thing about it is I am concerned that when these people do come into, especially the African-American communities, that we welcome them with open arms and get to know them and respect their culture, respect, you know, the fact that they are being displaced, that they do need to get settled, and they're going to be hoping that it's not going to be a very, very hard process. It's going to be hard enough leaving relatives, distant relatives, extended family members behind, not knowing what's going to happen to them, not just in terms of maybe possible retaliation against family members because of somebody leaving, but also just because of the upheavals that are going to take place. The society is going to go through a period of maybe 5 to 10 years of some shock and trauma because of the upheaval. So these people that come over here are going to be traumatized just because they left family members behind. And I think that in our black communities, our African-American communities, we need to embrace these people and make them feel at home, be good neighbors, in other words. Well, that's all I have to say. And Ms. Bianchi, I'm sorry, but I'm not making an excuse, but I'm not prepared to do my little recital tonight. I will plan to do it on next week. I've been working on a piece that I do want to share with you all. It's actually a combination of some John Coltrane, and you may be familiar with the old, not old, he's dead now, but the 1960s star of the saxophone named Gene Ammons. So I'm working on a combination piece representing some of their music that I like, but I can't do it tonight. I'm not ready, but I will plan on doing it next week, God willing. So I'll turn it back over to you, Ms. Bianchi, and then you can pass it on to Sheikh John Kenan Bey, and then to Sister Stephanie, and then after she finishes, if nobody else calls in, I'd like for you to do the wrap-up, and we'll be finished for this week's program. Ms. Bianchi.
Well, I'll be expecting your piece that you're going to play. You know, as far as communists are concerned, the Taliban is being supplied by communists. Communist Russia and the Chinese Communist Party. The same way that the North Vietnamese was being supplied by the communists. On the siege of Saigon, it was T-54 tanks that were supplied by Russia that came into Saigon. It was a T-59 tank that broke down the palace gate that was supplied by China during the siege of Saigon. In Korea. And Mr. Washington, you fought in Korea, didn't you? Well, you must have stepped away. But it was the Chinese. It was the Chinese Communist Party that supplied North Korea with weaponry in the form of guns, artillery, and tanks. So it's exactly what you're fighting. It's communism. And you can relate that to other wars too and other skirmishes. You know, war is this. You go in there and you tear up things and you kill people. You kill people. It only makes sense to kill them. Because if you don't, they'll be back to kill you next week. African tribes have done the same thing. When you fought a tribe and you lost, you're going to either pay restitution, they're going to sell you off to whoever wanted to buy you, or they killed you. They wasn't going to allow you to come back next week and benefit from what you learned on your mistakes of losing that particular battle. They weren't going to give you another chance. They were going to kill you. United States done the right thing. Trump done the right thing when he killed the Iranian terrorist, Soleimani. People complained about. The man had been on record for killing Americans and attempting to kill Americans for decades. Anytime you kill an American, you should be sought and hunted down to the very end of the earth, even into hell, and you need to be eliminated. Simple as that. And that's one reason I'm glad to live in a butt-kicking country. If you look at other nations around the world, they are usually ran over, and so on and so on and so on. Now, as far as these refugees, look at the refugees that's coming across. They ain't refugees, they're illegal aliens that's coming across the southern border. All this hoopla about the COVID in Americans, well, they're coming in and they have no records of being vaccinated nor immunized against common diseases, chicken pox, measles, whooping cough, which stand to reason because if parents don't trust the government, they surely wouldn't let the government jab their kids. And you find a lot of them are refusing to take vaccinations, according to the news sources that I've read in the pictures. Maybe they know something that all of us should know. But I would be totally against bringing these refugees into this country because you don't know who's amongst them. Joe Biden is not even doing a vetting system of finding out who's coming across the southern border. So how in the hell did he know who in the crowd that rushed the C-71 and got on board and probably end up here in the state? That diverse administration that he got looks like a bowl of Skittles. All right. Look like a bowl of Fruit Loops. All right. But can they perform? And apparently not. I don't think Joe Biden knows what the hell he's doing, nor at least long where he's at. So it's a shame. It just has to be more things that have to be cleaned up when he's gone. But I don't know why the American people keep standing for that. It just goes to show you, Mr. Washington, of the American people that you have today. It surely is not the one, the World War One and World War Two. I doubt if you could even pay. You know, talking about paying, the United States paid the Afghan military. I forget how much it was reported that they were being paid. But just like you're paying illegal aliens to come across the border and relocate in cities, unbeknownst to even some of the people in the cities, for a particular purpose, and I say that purpose for apportionment, in order to show up the depleted population in congressional districts that was Democrat, or even to create new districts that would be Democrat. That's very, very treacherous. I could talk about some more, but it seems like Mr. Washington wants to get back to his facts practice, so I'll cut it short. Thank you, Mr. Bay.
I assume you'll turn it over to me. I do have a comment, and I'm going to put it this way, is that the money that was spent in just that wall, and you can combine it to one that was spent in Iraq, then you talk about Vietnam, Korea. Well, their social, it took money from working people who are very interested in a better society. The proof of that is that most families make sacrifices to make sure their children learn more about the society than we know presently. So their other population, other society, educate their children, take care of their health care. Now, there is a weight that's on the American families now, what is called student debt. Now, the Chinese, one reason why the Chinese are going to pass to Americans is because the Chinese educate their people. So the technology in which they were behind one time, they coming up to American standard and passing simply because they're educating their people. Some of our brightest people that should be educated, they are in prisons. You know, it's that there's a blindness taking place here. And love had the advantage of hate, that hate blinds. The Democrats and Republicans, they're all of the same nation. You would think they were of different nations. They're all, their children should be going to a school that would educate them, prepare them to take the society to the next level. So in a peaceful society. So I think there's a decay that taking place is a cancer. If it's not addressed, it's going to cause destruction and death. Now, I'm saying this because I myself is a man of peace. I don't believe in killing. I don't believe the Creator put us in here on earth to kill each other. He put us on here to help each other. So I think that that he doesn't give life, but be taken away. And I think that it's been confused about life, because those who said they are pro-life, they're also for killing for ticker type life. We got people in our community being killed like flies. There are people who say they're pro-life are very silent. So I think that there's a cancer in this society. And I think if there was less hate and more love, I think we would be moving toward curing that cancer. If that's true, if not addressed, that means it's going to get worse. I trust I'm wrong. Peace.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. Yes.
It's your turn. So would you like to make a closing comment?
Yes, I would. As a matter of fact, like I said, live and let live. Now, even the Bible tells you there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars. You know, but that's not what it's all about. Where's the love? You know, the fool has said and underestimated Joe Biden. He's trying to bring some togetherness. Of course he's going to protect this country, you know, and he has a lot of work to do because Donald Trump tore up a lot of stuff. He did a lot of illegal things, skipping paying taxes and so on and so forth, and he's all about that killing. So we have got to stay on the side of God. You know, we don't want to seep into this devilish mess with hatred and killing and all that type of stuff being first and foremost on the agenda. So we'll never get nowhere like that, you know, and we have got to continue to get our young people to be educated and to teach them about love, obedience, obeying the law, and standing up for what's right. So everybody just have a wonderful weekend and rest of your week. And thank you. Peace.
Peace.
Okay, thank you, Sister Stephanie. And now for our wrap-up, Mr. Bianchi, I'll give it back to you.
Well, no, all nations have had their own gods, and they went out to battle with their gods, leading the way. The Cushites marched to battle with their god symbol of Amun. The Assyrians, which became the Persian, which is present-day Iran, theirs led by their god Ashur. The Babylonians, Baal, Rameshu, Ra, and on, all civilization had their own gods, and they trusted their gods for victory. And that was the history of the world at that time. Joe Biden has been a known racist for 47 years, including minus the time that he's been there in office. I think, maybe about 50 years. I'm not black because I didn't vote for him. Well, you got that right. Done the eulogy at Robert Byrd's, a known Ku Klux Klan Wizard of Oz, funeral. Said he didn't want his kids playing with ghetto kids or going to school with them. And looking at all the video clips of him feeling and rubbing and nuzzling on young girls and even boys, I wonder what his tendency is with kids. The news media is record, too.
You ought to be
the news media is record, too, because if they had reported all of the things that Hunter Biden had done, especially what was found on his laptops, his deal with Bressa, with Ukraine, and that the big guy should get 10% of the deals, which the big guy equated to Joe Biden. Democrats, when asked today would they have voted for him, they say, no, we didn't know that. That's treachery. And Mr. Bay made mention about how truth, hate makes you blind, but truth hurts too. Just like when we seen a young lady there sitting on the bed, Linda Blair in The Exorcist, when they pulled the holy water on her, it burned. It burned. The truth is just like holy water being poured on a person receiving an exorcist. They just can't stand it. And that's a sad thing. I'm like Malcolm X. What did Malcolm X say? You sent him to the cemetery. So if anybody try to do harm to you, harm to Americans, they should expect to receive the wrath of this nation. And it may not come soon, but it surely will come later, because that clown that's in there now won't be around all the time. You know, I often wonder at what point in time the people themselves, by way of the 10th Amendment, would take things back the way they should. States should have a right on who enters their boundaries, their borders. When the pandemic first came out, you had states that if you was driving from a particular state, when you reached that state, you had to stay in quarantine for 14 days. Well, should not a state have the same option to prevent illegals from coming across their border? That's what I call the BLM moment. Giving them driver's license, I say that any assets that they accumulate while being in the country illegally should be forfeited. The sending of resources, remittances back home, should have a tax on it to pay for the cost that this country is expending as they stay here. Food, water, and shelter, transportation. United States give all sorts of aid to those southern countries, southern hemisphere countries, to address the problems that they claim that they are experiencing. To what avail? They still say they're running from those problems. Anyway, I know you want to get out of here, Mr. Washington. I really appreciate it. People need to look at the whole story, not just half of the story, which is the basis of critical race theory, that same old half of the story, to demonize the white man. Just like a coin. Stories have both sides. And I want my child to be taught both sides of the story, which I do and have done. Thank you, Mr. Washington.
Okay. We want to thank you. We want to thank everyone that's been on the program tonight. And we certainly hope that everyone will be safe and have a remainder of the weekend that will be blessed, and that you will be able to join us again on next Saturday. So God bless you, and good night.